Welcome to our class on Chassidus. Today we are going to be learning a very special Chassidic discourse. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parsha Shlach, on Chof Ches Sivan, the 28th day of the month of Sivan, which was also Shabbos that blesses the month of Tammuz, in the year Tavshin Lamed Vav, 46 years ago. The Rebbe then, 12 years later, in Tavshin Mem Ches, certified and edited this Chassidic discourse, and then 3 years later, in Tavshin Nun Aleph, 29 years ago, the Rebbe actually handed this Chassidic discourse in a booklet, which had other Chassidic discourses and a history of Chav Ches Sivan, to thousands of Chassidim, together with a dollar for charity. So you can tell this Chassidic discourse is a very, very powerful and meaningful Chassidic discourse by the Rebbe that he certified and edited, and he gave it out to all the Chassidim. So we're going to be learning this discourse. The discourse is based on a verse in the opening of the Haftorah for this Shabbos, where the Haftorah begins, and it says, Vayishlach Yehoshua, that Joshua sent spies to the land of Israel. Now, the Torah portion is Parsha Shlach, a reference to what? The spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent to the land of Israel. So the Alter Rebbe in Likutei Torah, he asks a very, very simple question, two questions. That you see there's two major differences between the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu said in the Torah portion and the spies that Joshua sent, which is in the Haftorah. What is the difference? So first of all, in the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu sends the spies, so Hashem says, Shlach Lecha, send to you. What do you mean, send to you? So the commentaries say, Shlach Lecha means, I'm not commanding you to send these spies. I'm not against it, but I'm not for it. Lecha, you want it. L'daitcha, you want to send the spies. So the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent, Hashem wasn't against, but Hashem didn't command to send the spies. However, when it came to Joshua, Hashem commanded Joshua to send the spies. So the Alter Rebbe asked a simple question. Why is it when it came to the spies of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem didn't command? Versus he was okay with it, as long as Moshe wanted to do it. And versus the spies of Joshua, where Hashem commanded Joshua to send spies to scout out the land of Israel. The second question is that you see that when they did send the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu's spies scouted out the whole land of Israel. Versus Joshua only went to Jericho. And from Jericho, they were able to see the land of Israel, but they did not walk the whole land, just like Moshe Rabbeinu's spies. And the question is, what's the difference? What's the question? What's the difference? Since they were both trying to accomplish the same thing, scout out the land of Israel, so why in one case was it a command, but it was limited to Yericho, and the other case with Moshe Rabbeinu was not a command, but it was went to the whole land of Israel. So the Alter explains that the idea of scouting out the land of Israel, there was the physical, as this story tells us in the Bible and in the prophets, but then there's the spiritual scouting out the land of Israel, which means that we all have a body and we all have an animal soul, a nefesh bahamas, and we have an obligation to scout out our body, to scout out our animal soul, and to make sure that our animal soul, just like our godly soul, is dedicated to Hashem. Now, how do you go about doing it? So that's, if we take a special pair of glasses, we'll see that, but just like Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies and its unique differences, and Joshua has to do, and it guides us how we should scout out our animal soul and our body so that it can be a real Eretz Yisrael, our whole body and our whole animal soul could be Eretz Yisrael, which means we're ready to serve Hashem and doing the will of Hashem. So what is the difference between Yericho spiritually and what is the difference between the whole land of Israel spiritually? So the author explains as follows. Yericho comes from the word of reyach, a fragrance. It's not the thing itself, it's a fragrance. In other words, so the author says, what is Yericho spiritually? Yericho spiritually is like a garment. A garment you put on and you take off. It's not you. It's not your body. It's not your intellect, which is within you, part of you, or your emotions, which is part of you. It's like a garment. You put it on, you take it off. What is the spiritual garments of every single one of us? Our thought. Why is thought a garment? Because thought, you're thinking. It's not you. You can think about, you're constantly thinking, that's correct. But you can change your thoughts. And you can think about things that you don't believe in, or you do believe in. It's thoughts. It's not necessarily who you are. Speech, again, you can talk things which you agree, you disagree. You can read things that don't make sense to you, because speech is not you. It's a garment. The same thing with action. You can do things you believe in, you can do things you don't believe in. Why? Because again, it's a garment. So the garments of the soul is Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. And that's represented by Yerichai. On the other hand, what is the whole of the land of Israel? So we know in the land of Israel, when they went to conquer the land of Israel, there were seven nations they had to get rid of. What is the seven nations? We all know in Kabbalah, there's 10 Sfirot, there's 3 intellect, there's 7 emotions. So the 7 nations resembles our emotions. So the spiritual job of scouting out the land of Israel and scouting out the 7 nations, where Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies to check out all the 7 nations, the whole land, is to transform all our emotions. That all our emotions from our animal soul and from our physical body should be dedicated to Hashem. So therefore, based on this, the author explains, when it comes to the avodah, the service of Yerichai, Armachshava, Dibur, Amaisa. So over there, what do we see? That Joshua was commanded every single, were commanded by God to send the spies, which means that we're commanded that we have to take full control of our thought, speech, and action. And we know if Hashem gives us a command, because there's an expression in Hebrew, Einim Avakash El Levi Koichon. Hashem is not going to ask you to do something you can't do. So therefore Hashem commands us, Yerichai, conquer Yerichai. You have to scout at Yerichai. We have the power to take full control of our thought, speech, and action. What does that mean practically? Let's say you're not in a great mood, and you're not in a good place. You can still think good thoughts. You can still think happy thoughts, even though you're not in a happy place. Obviously, you can do it the other way as well, but we're trying to focus on the positive. That means you can think about Hashem. You can be grateful to Hashem, even though if you don't feel Hashem right now is there for you right now. You're going through a tough time. You don't feel like Hashem is there for you. You don't think Hashem relates to you, but your machshava, you could at any moment think about Hashem. Positive things, even if you're not holding there emotionally and intellectually. Machshava, you can do it. Speech, let's say you're not in the mood of speaking nice. You can still speak nice. Let's say somebody you don't like and you want to say something negative. You can still be positive. You can still say nice things to the person and about the person. Why? Because it's a garment. Maisa, action, the same thing also. You can still do good things. You're in the mood, you're not in the mood. And that's why the Altar says that Joshua commanded that, yes, you should go to Yerichai. Everybody has to go and engage their thought, speech, and action. And everyone could engage their thought, speech, and action. So that's what Yerichai. That's what Machshava Dibur Maisa. However, when it comes to your midos, your emotions, Hashem cannot command us feel great always. Sometimes you don't feel great. Sometimes you're just not in a good mood. So Hashem can't command you. And that's why He did not command us to check out the whole land of Israel. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, nevertheless, did inspire us and command. L'daitach, Moshe Rabbeinu did tell us to go to the land of Israel. Why? Because when you have Moshe, it's very easy to transform your emotions even though you're not in a good mood. Why is that? So in other words, from Hashem as a command to feel great, you just don't feel it. So therefore Hashem didn't command. But Moshe Rabbeinu could command. Why? And Rabbi explains very, very, very beautifully, and he says like this. There's a big difference between feeling when it comes to something physical. If you see something physical, if you have something physical, physical things, you can love or you can hate. There's something to touch. I love it, I don't like it, I'm afraid of it. Take for example, you see something that you like. Ah, you love it. Let's say, God forbid, you see something you're afraid of, you're afraid. Could you control it? Not necessarily, it's hard to. However, we know Moshe Rabbeinu, what is Moshe Rabbeinu? He's the leader of the Jewish people. What does the Moshe Rabbeinu teach us and inspire us to activate which sphera? The sphera of Das. Das, we know in intellect, is Chachma, Bina, and Das. Wisdom, intellect, understanding. Das is the ability to meditate. And when you meditate, you can take something which is not tangible and you can bring it into real life. That's the power of meditation. That's the power of Das. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as a real leader, helps us and inspires us to meditate, to use our Das, and through our Das we can connect to Hashem. And with through our Das we can connect to Hashem, we can create real love for Hashem, real awe for Hashem. You want to become in love with Hashem? You want to become in love with the Torah and mitzvahs? You have to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu to activate your Das. Meditate about the greatness of Hashem. That's when we pray. We talk about all the great things about Hashem. To activate our Das, the Das should be real. And when the Das is real, then you can be on fire. And then you can actually change an emotion. So, but to command someone to do it, it's not a command. You can't say either I love or I hate. I have it or I don't have it. Moshe Rabbeinu can train us. He can train us that even though there's something which is called in Kabbalah Teva Rishon, our first nature, and there's something which is called Teva Sheni, which means sometimes your natural instinct is not to have a love for Hashem, or maybe not to have awe for Hashem. Okay, so Hashem can command you, love Hashem, be in awe of Hashem. And that's why he did not instruct the spies to go to the whole land of Israel to reference the emotions. Moshe Rabbeinu is a trainer. Moshe Rabbeinu trains us to have emotions. How? To use our Das. So if you connect to a Moshe Rabbeinu of your generation, the Rebbe, through learning Chassidus, you'll learn how to use your Das, and that will fuel love where you don't necessarily have it in an active way. Or offer Hashem if you don't have it there. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu inspired us and trained us. Yes, we have to use our Das so that we can transform ourselves and have true love for Hashem. Now, that's from the Alter Rebbe. So now the Rebbe comes along and the Rebbe says, one second. What are we saying? When it comes to thought, speech, and action, Hashem commands us, yeah, you got to take control of your thought, speech, and action, and you can do it. So therefore, He commands you. When it comes to emotions, Hashem doesn't command you because you can do it. Fine, Moshe Rabbeinu inspires you to do it. But the fact is, it says in the Torah, to go ahead and go check out the whole land of Israel, and Hashem commands us to conquer the land of Israel, which means that we can conquer our emotions. How can you conquer the emotions? How can we do it? So the author, so the Rebbe brings from Tanya, where the author explains. We learned Tanya already, Baruch Hashem, in our class, but we're going to do a refresher course. The author explains in Tanya there's two personalities. There's something which is called the tzaddik, and there's something which is called the Beinoni. What's the difference between the Tzaddik and the Beinoni? So the Tzaddik basically is somebody that is in full control of his intellect and his emotions, and his intellect and his emotions is totally dedicated to Hashem. That means his only desire he wants is to be with Hashem. The only love he has is for Hashem. Anything that's not Hashem doesn't even register. Does not register. The only thing that registered is love for Hashem, all for Hashem. That's a tzaddik. A Beinoni, on the other hand, he has other desires that pop up. He has other inclinations that pop up. However, a Beinoni, which is different than a Rasha, unfortunately, will jump ahead. A Rasha, unfortunately, acts on those impulses. And Nebuch, unfortunately, does things he shouldn't be doing. Says things he shouldn't be doing, thinks things he shouldn't be thinking, obsesses on it. That's the world of a difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. A tzaddik, basically, anything that's not Hashem doesn't register. The only thing that registers is Hashem. A rasha, on the other hand, has impulses, but acts on it. So what's the Beinoni? The Beinoni is someone that unfortunately does have impulses. Where he's human. He has an impulse. Not necessarily to listen to Hashem, not necessarily always to be in love with Hashem, not always to do the right thing, but the difference in a Beinoni is as follows. A Beinoni will take full control of his thought, speech, and action. Meaning to say is, he has an impulse to do something, not right. The impulse he has, but will he do that? No. He has an impulse to say something inappropriate, nasty. Will he do it? No. He has the impulse. He's not a tzaddik. He does have the impulses, but on the other hand, he's not a rasha. He doesn't say it. The same thing also with his thought. He takes full control over his thought. Meaning to say is, if he has an impulse, he's not going to obsess on it. Your thought, it's harder, because your thought is always working, but he'll switch his thought right away to something else. The minute he starts thinking about something negative, he'll right away switch to something positive. That's why, just on a side note, it's important always to learn Torah, to know some Torah by heart. Why? Because you get a bad thought. What are you replacing with? You need something to replace it with. But if you know Torah by heart, you can right away start reading in your mind some Mishnah, some Talmud, some Kabbalah, some mysticism, etc. Now, so Tanya says, a Beinoni at any moment can take full control of his life. In where? In three areas. Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. A tzaddik, on the other hand, not only Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, his whole emotions is totally dedicated to Hashem. Now, could every person be a tzaddik? No. Not every person could have full control over his emotions. That is very, very hard. It's a lifelong challenge. King David, a whole life, tried to get there, and eventually, at the end of his life, he got there. But it's not something we can do. Now, so even though you might say that a Beinoni can be, fine, I'm going to take on a commitment, I'm going to make sure that my actions, my speech, my thought, I could take it on, and I will take it on, and I will succeed. 100%, as you see, there's a commandment. Yirichai, conquer Yirichai. Make sure you have full control of your thoughts, speech, and actions. Everyone can be a Beinoni. But could everyone be a tzaddik? No. So even though everyone can't be a tzaddik, but what does Tanya say? Tanya says that before a person's born, it's brought down in the Talmud, that every single person is given an oath. Guess what? To he tzaddik. You should be a tzaddik. What do you mean? How could you be a tzaddik? Either I'm going to have the impulse, I won't. So if I'm going to have the impulse, how are you telling me to be a tzaddik? Nevertheless, before you're born, what oath is administered to you? You should be a tzaddik. But I can't be a tzaddik. And the answer is, the oath is given to you, you should strive to be a tzaddik. By machshava dibur maisa abeinani, you can not only strive, you could be, and you will be. Why? Because your thought, speech, and action you can control. When it comes to being a tzaddik, no one's guaranteeing you you're going to be a tzaddik always. But you have to strive to be a tzaddik. That means you have to work on yourself. You have to work on your emotions. And again, maybe it won't be the first impulse, but you can maybe control the second impulse or the third. But to teach tzaddik, you could be a tzaddik. You could work on yourself. It's not that because you can't be a tzaddik, instead I'm not even going to try. The command is to eat tzaddik, try. Try. Somehow you'll succeed. Whatever percentage is. But we have a command to be tzaddik. And that's why, if you give a look in the Torah says very, very clearly, there's a command to eradicate the seven nations from the land of Israel. On a physical level. On a spiritual level means that we have been commanded by Hashem to conquer our land. We have within our power to get rid of anything that's within us. How do we do it? Again, tahit tzaddik. So tahit tzaddik means it's very, very simple. There's two components. One is sur meira, and the other one is asay toif. What does that mean? In order to be a tzaddik, you have to work in two areas. And again, it's work. It's constant work. One is, I'll use the language of Tanya, you have to learn to be moyis bara. You have to create in yourself a mindset and a feeling that if it's ra, if it's evil, it's disgusting. And that's something you have to constantly work on yourself. Because the more you come to a realization, intellectually and emotionally, that ra is something which is disgusting, why would you want something disgusting? The problem is you don't think it's 100% disgusting. You think there's a certain goodness to it. And that's what the evil inclination, that's what the Yetzer Hara tries to tell you. Look how good it is. It's like, for example, telling someone, eat a candy. Look how sweet it is. The candy is going to cause you to hurt your teeth, and eventually you have to go to the dentist and you're going to ruin your teeth. But why you take the candy? Because you thought it's going to break your teeth? You thought it's going to cause you pain later when you have to go to the dentist? No. You took the candy because right now it's sweet. The same thing also when it comes to a sin. The reason why people unfortunately sin, not because they think later how disgusting it is. At this moment, it tastes sweet. So when we train ourselves that the minute it's a sin, it's disgusting. Who wants it? So the first avoid of Tehit Tzadik, the avoid, it's work, is to constantly meditate, use our das, to realize that if it's a sin, if it's going against Hashem, guess what? It's disgusting. You have to be Moyes Parah, and you have to train yourself. So Tehit Tzadik means you have to train yourself to be Moyes Parah. That's one part. The second part is, you have to train yourself to love Hashem, truthfully. And the more a person trains themselves to love Hashem, so A, you're going to have Ra, anything which is not Hashem is disgusting, and B, Hashem, you're going to love Him, that's the way you're going to become a tzaddik. Now, are you going to become automatically a tzaddik? Are you going to stay that way? No, it's avoida, it's work. In other words, we have constantly an avoida to do two things. One is Yerichoy, Machshava Dibur Ma'isa, that's not negotiable. I have full control, and it's very easy for me that even though I don't feel a certain way, Machshava, I'm going to think the right way, I'm going to speak the right way, I'm going to do everything I have to do the right way. Life is going to be great. Thought, speech, and action in my garments. But then I also have Tehit Tzadik. I have to train myself that anything that's wrong, it's disgusting. It's not for me. I don't want it. I don't deal with disgusting things. And the same thing also, I want to have love for Hashem. So therefore, even though, could every person be a tzaddik? No. But could every person work on being tzaddik? 100%. So therefore, like this, when it comes to the command to go to check out Yerichoy, Hashem commanded us. Every single one of us have a commandment. That means we are commanded and we have the ability to go ahead and conquer Yerichoy, to make sure our thought, speech, our action are in line. When it comes to taking over the whole land of Israel, that our emotions should always be clicking exactly what Hashem wants, and not, God forbid, to have a negative impulse, Hashem can't command us that, because that's not realistic. But on the other hand, through Moshe Rabbeinu, we can be inspired to work on our emotions. That our emotions should be not necessarily maybe the first nature, but second nature. We should want to be a tzaddik. We should not agree that we should have any involvement with anything negative, anything which is abhorrent to God. And we should only want to have love for Hashem. And that's the avodah of Tehit Tzadik. It's not a guarantee you're going to be successful, but it's a guarantee that you can try. And it's a guarantee that you can train yourself. And as you try and as you train yourself, you will eventually, hopefully, at one day, we all hope to be tzaddikim, to be righteous people, but we won't even have the desire to begin with. Maybe not in everything, in certain things. It's a work in progress. Now the Rebbe is going to explain why is it that it's really so much easier to control our thought, speech, and action, our garments, and it's not as easy to control our emotions itself. And Rebbe explains as follows. Because the fact is that when it comes to thought, speech, and action, it's a garment. What does that mean? Very, very simple. Take, for example, we wear clothing. Why do we wear clothing? We wear clothing for one or two reasons. One is for modesty. So you have to wear clothing to be modest. Another reason why you wear clothing, if it's cold, if it's hot, so you need the right clothing to protect you from the elements. Now, the fact is the clothing you're wearing, you don't live in the clothing. There's times you take them off, there's times you put them on, there's times you wear this garment, there's times you wear the other garment, and so on and so forth. Garments, it's not you. So because it's not you, it's very easy to take them off, put them on, and to switch them. So the same thing, just like with physical clothing, it's easy. The same thing also spiritual clothing. Thought is not really you. You're thinking about certain things. Yeah, your thoughts are constantly working. But you can change. I can easily switch from 1 second to the other. I can switch what I'm thinking about. Speech. I can say things which I don't agree with, I do agree with. And the same thing also with action. However, when it comes to our intellect and our emotions, that's already part of our soul. In other words, when we have certain natural tendencies to things that we like or things that we don't like, or certain ways of thinking, it's very hard to change that. Why? Because it's more connected to our soul. So when it comes to levushim, garments, machshava, dibur, maisa, it's much easier to change. However, when it comes to intellect and emotions, the way we naturally react, it's much harder. Again, just to make a disclaimer, even though it's harder, remember we said before, you still have to work on it. So machshava, dibur, maisa, because it's easier to change, therefore Hashem says, guess what? You have an obligation to make sure your machshava is in line, your dibur is in line, your maisa is in line. Make sure those thoughts are good, positive, upbeat, happy, inspiring, you're motivated, enthusiastic about life. Your speech is kind, generous, gentle, all the beautiful stuff about life. Action, only great actions, positive actions. Fine, I get it. Your impulses are not necessarily the way they should be. But guess what? You can train yourself. That if it's not one, that's good. You should try not to bring it upon yourself. And if you do, to get rid of it right away. You should train yourself to have more love for Hashem. That's the avodah. Now, so that is why it's easier to work on your garments versus on the actual emotions itself. It's much harder. But here the Rebbe says a step further. Not only is our garments, machshava, dibur, maisa, something easy to change, but the truth is, it's actually more important. It's more important than your emotions. In other words, what we just explained, our thoughts, speech, and action, the reason why it's easy to change, because it's not really you. The emotions is you. Here they're ever saying, no. The truth is, your thoughts, speech, and action, your garments, is actually more important than your emotions. And because it's more important and it's more powerful, that's why Hashem commands us to take control of our thought, speech, and action, because it is actually more important. Why is it more important? Because we all know in the world of Kabbalah, there's something where we see it, and there's something in the source. So in other words, the expression is like this. If you have a tall building, first floor, second floor, 100 floors, and when the building, God forbid, collapses, so the first floor stays more or less where it is, and the highest floor goes much further away. So we look at it, our emotions is much more powerful. It's who we are. Garments, our thought, speech, and action is not really who we are. But the truth is, in its shayrish, in the source, machshava, dibur, maisa is much more powerful. And Rebbe gives a simple example. The example is something which is we can relate to. Obviously, we can relate to it. Why? Because we can relate to it, and we're able to relate to it. The light is not that strong. Something that's harder for us to relate to, I'll use the words of Kabbalah, something which is makif. When we say makif, you can't internalize it. It's too powerful. So the same thing also. Because we cannot internalize thought, speech, and action, it's a proof that it's much, much stronger. Not only that, take, for example, Rebbe gives a practical example. Take us human beings, we put on clothing. Why do we put on clothing? A, as you mentioned before, to protect yourself from the elements, cold, hot. You wear clothing to beautify yourself. People wear clothing to look beautiful. And we all know that the Talmud says, Rabbi Yochanan, a famous rabbi in the Talmud said, you know what he called his garments? He didn't call it garments. He said, they honor me. Why? Because garments actually honor you. Take, for example, when a person speaks. When you speak beautiful words, people say, ah, a nice person. Or, for example, when you do certain actions that are very, very nice, oh, a nice person. They don't know who you are. They don't know how you feel. But how do people judge you? They judge you based on your actions. How do people judge you? Based on your speech. They'll judge you based on your thoughts if you share it with them. Obviously, they need to know what you're thinking. So this, just like garments physically make us more beautiful, the same thing also, our levushim, our machshava, dibur, or maisa, make us more beautiful. Not only that, Hashem gave us a body, and in the body he gave us a neshama, which is part of Hashem. When the neshama came down from heaven down to this, why did it come down here? So it came down to elevate. Like, for example, think about when you go into business. You go into business to make money or lose money. You go in to make money. The same thing also when the Neshama came down to this world, the reason why it came down to this world is to be elevated. That even in this world, with all the challenges, it still will be connected to Hashem. So it becomes much stronger. How does the Neshama do mitzvahs? The Neshama does mitzvahs? Doesn't do mitzvahs. You do mitzvahs with what? By doing actions. Through the garment. You do mitzvahs by speech. You do mitzvahs by meditation. The way to do mitzvahs is by thought, speech, and action. How do you learn Torah? With your thought and with your speech. So your thought and your speech actually elevates you. It elevates the soul. So in other words, the Rebbe is saying is not only is it easy to change your thought, speech, and action, it's crucial. This is really where the power is. Because the thought, speech, and action has the power to elevate the soul. Now, what happens on the opposite? When a person uses his thought, speech, and action in negative or in neutral stuff, you know, it's the thought, speech, and action of your animal soul, you actually downgrade your animal soul. The animal soul just wants to live, you know, live and let live. Don't bother me. Feed me. Give me the drink. Give me a house. Give me shelter. Take me on a vacation once in a while. The animal soul's good. But what happens when we obsess, God forbid, with our thought and our speech and our action in negative stuff, in nonsense and silly stuff, in anger and jealousy, hate, and all the other negative things? It actually downgrades the animal soul. This animal soul is sitting there quietly, just let me live, take care of me, feed me, pay my bills, life is good. But when you activate your thought, speech, and action in negative stuff, in mundane physical pursuits, and you're just pursuing and running after negativity, you actually downgrade the animal soul. So you see from here that thought, speech, and action is not only the fact that we can change it, and therefore we should change it, but it's actually more important because it actually can elevate the godly soul or actually downgrade the animal soul. And when you downgrade your animal soul, you're actually downgrading your godly soul as well. And that's why our main avodah, our main spiritual work in this world is two things. Sur Meira, stay away from anything negative. Stay away from anything evil. Stay away from anything which is not good. And the second avoid is Asay Toiv, do good. Learn, pray, do mitzvahs, help people, be happy, be positive. Sur Meira ve Asay Toiv. That's your to-do list should have two things for the day. Sur Meira, stay away from negative, stay away from evil. But Asay Toiv and do good. But where does it play out? How do you Sur Meira ve Asay Toiv? From your nefesh? From your neshama, from your intellect, from your emotions? No. It all plays out. The playing field of life is in thought, speech, and action. So if you can keep your thought, your speech, and your action away from negativity and good stuff, you'll have a great life. And not only will you have a great life, you'll elevate the soul that you have. And what does it? What does it is these garments. So you see that the garments are key. The garments are key because you could take control of it. And not only that, it's key to allow you to live a life of Sur Meira, not getting involved in anything negative. And it allows you to live a life in Asay Toiv. And through that, you elevate the godly soul. You elevate the animal soul. And God forbid, you don't downgrade it. So they, based on this, Rebbe says, that's why Yerichoy, Jericho, which resembles Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa, that was the entryway into the land of Israel. Because if you want to go in and have a successful land of Israel, which means that you're doing Ritzoyin Hashem, you're doing what Hashem wants, it's very simple. Start off with Sur Meira V'Asay Toiv. Stay away from negative, do positive, and again, with which three tools? With the garments. Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa, which 100% you can control. And not only that, but if you send the spies and you check out constantly, you double check and you fact check that your machshava is always busy with, God forbid, it's not doing negative stuff, it's positive, your dibur, your speech is only saying positive thing, it's none of the junkie talk and actions, none of the negative actions, only positive actions. You make sure that everything is connected to what? To Yud Kei Vav Kei, to doing what Hashem wants. When a person does that, which that you have full control over, through that you have full control over, you'll actually be able to reach subconsciously and consciously to transform your emotions. Which the emotions we know is the seven nations of the world. And we know when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to expand the borders. And not only will we take over the seven nations, which represent the emotions, we'll be able to expand the borders to take over another three nations. And that represents our intellect. So by literally starting off with three baby steps, and that we can all accomplish. In other words, Surmei Rabbe Asai Toiv. That's the mission, that's the vision. Stay away from negativity, do only positive. Where? In things that you have control over. Where Hashem commanded you and gave you the strength, you can do it. Where? Machshava, Dibur, Maisa. Thought, speech, and action. If you take control of your life in thought, speech, and action, that's the only part you have to be busy with proactively. And that you could do proactively. Take full control of thought, speech, and action, you know what will happen? You will not only conquer your thought, speech, and action that will be totally dedicated to Hashem, but through that, it will affect your emotions, and it will affect your intellect, and it will elevate your godly soul, and elevate your animal soul. You'll be living on a whole different plane by doing things that you have control over. Hashem is not asking you to do things you don't have control over. Yes, the avodah of a tzaddik, we have to work on meditation, through the power of Moshe, with Das, to train ourselves to be Moyes Barah. We should be abhorrent of negativity and something which is not in line with Hashem, and to try to love Hashem. Absolutely, we have to work on that. We have to try. And trying is very, very important. The avoid of a tzaddik is for us to try. But the avoid that we could do, the avoid of a beinani, is Sur Meirah V'Asei Toi, stay away from negative, do good, Machshava Dibur Maisa, which will not only affect your Machshava Dibur Maisa, it will actually seep into your emotions, it will seep into your intellect, and we'll be able to conquer our full being, every part of our being, which will ultimately happen, Mitzvah Shem Mashiach comes, B'Karev Mamash. I think this is such a beautiful and important Hasidic discourse to learn and to relearn, because it's really, really so easy to take control over things we could take control over. Our thought, speech, and action, it should be dedicated for Hashem. We could do it, and Hashem commands us to do it, and therefore we could do it. And once we do it, we'll not only have full control of our thought, speech, and action, which will affect us, the way we live our life, it will affect our neshama, it will affect our emotions, it will affect our intellect, and we'll be able to live a most amazing, beautiful life. Again, thanks so much for joining us for our Chassidus class, and let's hope that we actually transform ourselves, transform the world, and Hashem reveals Himself with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Thank you.